Now, if you were fortunate enough to be part of our men's Bible study group over the past 6 months or so, you would know that Amos was one of the 12 minor prophets, right? One of the 12 minor prophets in the Bible. Amos lived circa 750 BC in that era. And he was from the southern kingdom of Judah, but he was sent by God to prophesy, to preach, to the northern kingdom of Israel. And as was the case with most of the prophets, Amos's message was a warning. Yeah? It was a warning against the bad behavior of the people. And in this case, he was warning against the coming judgment, and the judgment, or the consequence of their behavior, was going to be the invasion and the conquest of the north by the Assyrians. It was coming. It was coming, and it was coming soon. Okay, Amos, by trade, was a farmer. He was a shepherd, primarily a shepherd. Humble background, very humble ground. He was not born into a priestly family. His father wasn't a prophet, nothing like that, no. He herded sheep. That was his main thing. He also tended fig trees, it says. But most of his book and his thinking and his kind of style says to me that he would have been a good commercial banker. Now you may recall that for 36 years of my life, I myself was a commercial banker. So I can see some parallels here to the book of Amos. Did you see what just happened? Everybody started falling asleep. My word. Now I'm used to Brian falling asleep and Ron yawning, and but holy cow. I mentioned the words commercial banker and half the crowd starts to fall asleep. Now listen, it'll be okay. Wake up. Everybody wake up. You can make it a little bit. This will be kind of interesting, Charlie. You'll believe it when you hear it, right? You'll find this interesting. Now listen, in the Bible, unbelievable. Did you see that? In the Bible and in theology, we use the word covenant all the time. All the time. Even within the church and among the churches, we talk about being in covenant. A lot. Covenant. Covenant. It's a promise, an agreement. And it sort of governs a relationship between and among people, and between people and God. And in the Old Testament, the old covenant between God and his people essentially was this. He would be their God, and they would be his people, and they would follow the 613 laws of Moses. Right? No problem. No problem, right? Simple. But was it a problem for them to follow all those 613 laws of Moses? Yes, absolutely. Constantly. That's the big part of the story of the Old Testament. The Jewish people could never seem to stay in covenant. And that's largely what the book of Amos is about, and that's why it reminds me so much of banking. Everybody starts to fall asleep again. You see that? Wake up. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Try to stay awake. Brian, you okay back there? Attaboy. Practically every day in my job as a commercial banker, certainly every couple of days or every week, I was thinking about and evaluating covenants. And there's no other area in life that I know of, maybe you guys know something, where that word is used other than in, you know, religion and in business and banking. And it's used all the time. And in commercial banking, the way it worked was this. As a banker, you would agree to make a loan to a company, a big loan, you know. And you would even agree to like the terms of the deal, the rate and the length of the loan, that kind of stuff, collateral, stuff like that. But then came the loan documents part. And there's a whole bunch of documents. And then the documents would be things like the promissory note and the collateral documents and all that. But there would be a governing document called the loan agreement. The loan agreement. And in the loan agreement, probably the most important and hotly negotiated section was the section on covenants. Isn't that surprising? Covenants. Covenants. Like the 613 laws of Moses, the loan agreement would include covenants. That was part of the deal. What will the company do? And what will the company not do as long as we are their lender? That's the deal. And then if everything is agreed to, the deal is signed, all these documents are signed, and the loan is funded. And then the fun starts. The company operates day in and day out, and they start to send us, usually monthly, financial statements and something called a covenant compliance certificate. Nancy Bell would be familiar with this. She worked for one of the law firms I dealt with all the time. And then here's the thing. At first, you know, for a while, everything goes great, right? Like clockwork, everything goes great. But then over time, sometimes not too much time, what do you think starts to happen? Things start to loosen up a little bit. Things get a little complacent. Complacency sets in, or whatever it is. Yeah. Suddenly, the account might show up on my past due report. Uh-oh. You know, I didn't get my monthly statements. I have to call them up. Maybe I have to stop out there and check on them, see what's going on. And eventually I get their numbers. Maybe they didn't do the calculations or calculate the ratios. I have to do it, right? And what do I find out? They're out of covenant. Ugh. Out of covenant. Something's not right. Do you think that ever happened? All the time. All the time. You wouldn't believe so many times. So many times. Now, maybe they can fix it, cure it, as we would say, and get back in covenant. So maybe we would issue a waiver. Maybe I would waive the default. You know, maybe you charge a fee or increase the rate or do something as a little bit of a penalty. Maybe not. Maybe you don't. Maybe you agree to forbear, you know, just kind of stand still, do nothing, wait, see what happens. But what if it keeps happening over and over, in and out of covenant? What do you do? It's a common story in commercial banking, I can tell you that. And it definitely becomes the story of the Book of Amos. That's what's going on. Was it complacency? Pridefulness? Greed? That caused Israel to fall out of covenant with God. It was all of the above. You heard it in the reading today. It was all of the above. 2,700 years ago, complacency, pridefulness, and greed were causing people to stumble. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Imagine that. Now, in a previous sermon, last year sometime, we talked about God's metaphor of a plumb line. I don't know if you remember that. This was from the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 7, one chapter before our reading today, in Amos chapter 7, God says, "What do you see, Amos?" And Amos replied, "A plumb line." Now some of you builders and handymen can know what a plumb line is. A plumb line. And God said, "I am setting a plumb line for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer." God set a plumb line. In other words, God specifically said to Amos in chapter 7, "I'm going to start checking their covenant compliance certificates. And if I find them to be out of covenant," in other words, out of plumb, "I am not issuing any more waivers. It will be time to do what? Foreclose." That's what he's saying. That's what God said in chapter 7. And then from our reading today, in Amos chapter 8, God says this. He says, "What do you see, Amos?" And Amos replies, "A basket of ripe fruit." Now, throughout the book of Amos, God had threatened, but then he relented. He threatened, and then he relented. That was going on throughout the book. Israel broke covenant, and then God issued a waiver. But that cannot continue. Our attorneys at the bank would always warn us, if you keep issuing a waiver, you really no longer have a covenant. And so in chapter 7, God set a plumb line. "This is it," he said, "and I mean it this time." And then in chapter 8, he declared Israel to be like a basket of ripe fruit. What did that mean? It meant that the next step was this. You were going to either be eaten or tossed out, or you were going to rot. Your time was up. You were out of time. It was the end of the line. You were like a basket of ripe fruit. And then in the final chapter of Amos, chapter 9, Amos foresees the destruction of the nation, which did occur within 30 years. It was a short period of time later when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom and exiled most of the population. They were gone. Okay, but the book of Amos and this sermon today both close on a very positive note, because God, speaking through the prophet Amos, conveyed not just the old covenant, but also foresaw the new covenant, a covenant of restoration. The covenant he had made with King David was a covenant of restoration. In verse 11, he says this, "I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places." God said he will restore. Not might, not maybe. He said he will. It was a promise. It's a promise. It was a new covenant. And if we need a reminder of what the new covenant is like, our own St. Paul provides a beautiful description in our second reading today from Colossians chapter 1. We heard it from Grace. Beginning in verse 15, it's a great statement of one of our foundational beliefs. It says this, "The Son," S-O-N, "the Son is the image of the invisible God, In other words, if you want to know the nature of God, right there he is. Right there he is. Just look at the nature of Jesus. That's God. And then in verse 18, it says, he is the head of the church. No one else. That's our head right there. Jesus is the head of the church. And then this, the ultimate foundational statement of our faith is in verse 20, I believe. It says this, all things are reconciled with God through Jesus. And get this, it says, whether on earth or in heaven. Ultimately, whether on earth or in heaven, all things are reconciled with God through Jesus. So says the Bible. Now, we want to be reconciled not now, on earth. Absolutely, right? That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's certainly our intent. We want to be in covenant now with the new covenant. Not the 613 laws. We can't name them. We don't know them. We can't even name the 12 minor prophets, even though we studied them. We admit it, right? We want to be in covenant with the new covenant, the covenant of love and service to others, the fruits of the Spirit, that stuff. That's what we want to be in covenant with, and we want to be in covenant with it now. What gets in the way? That hasn't changed, has it? Complacency, pride, greed. Same as 2,700 years ago, still gets in the way. And we know it. And that's okay. I mean, we just have to be aware of it and keep working through it. Because now, good news. We've got the good news. We have a new deal. We have a new covenant. And we have a new banker. Going to give us the waiver that we need. But we want to get in compliance. Keep working on it. Our new banker is Jesus. Amen.